You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio. Welcome to the Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week, over the last 5 years, I've been really, really fortunate to be able to share the stories, the expertise and the knowledge of business leaders large and small with you, the listener. And this week is going to be no different. On today's show, we're going to be talking about impactful storytelling. And to do that, we're joined by the wonderful Darren Evans of Aftercloud, who are a wonderful Oxfordshire-based business and who do some really interesting work, which I'm sure Darren's going to tell us all about after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, today we're joined by Darren Evans of Aftercloud, and we're going to be talking all about his business as well as impactful storytelling. So for those who don't know Darren, welcome Darren. Thank you so much for your time and for joining me this morning. Really appreciate it. Do introduce yourself to our listeners and indeed your business.
Thanks, Ben. It's an absolute pleasure to be here. Just before I introduce myself, though, can I just say congratulations to you and all the team for your SME of the Year category in Oxfordshire. I think it's fantastic.
Oh, thanks so much. And likewise to you. You guys did really well with Enterprise Oxfordshire and a great regarded business. So really looking forward to talking over the rest of the show.
Yeah, me too. So I'm Darren. I'm Chief Exec of Aftercloud. And what we do essentially is we provide digital storytelling platforms, primarily across social care. So we operate in both children's services and adult services, both with regard to social care, essentially residential care environments, predominantly. Mm. A little bit more besides as well.
Amazing. There's so much to unpack there and really, really looking forward to talking about that. But before that, the only non-business related thing we'll talk about this morning is you're a radio DJ, just for a moment. So you've kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
So for me, it would be Wish You Were Here by Pink Floyd, and that's to all the people out there really that are either missing somebody or would like someone in their life to talk to that they can no longer talk to.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. What a fitting song chosen by Darren, because I think we've all got that person in our lives. So hopefully that really resonated with you. If you aren't just tuning in, today we're joined by Darren Evans of Aftercloud, and we're talking about impactful storytelling. So Darren, it'd be really good just to start with quite a big question, if that's okay. What is impactful storytelling?
Yeah, I mean, great question, I think, Ben. I think it's something that has a degree of social impact. So storytelling in itself is fantastic, has to have a beginning, middle and end, clearly. But I think something that really resonates with the audience it's designed to attract.
No, absolutely. And if we delve into your own business, if that's okay, talk to me a little bit about how the idea came about and really, I guess, the journey from concept to being live as an organisation.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I've been working across social care, technology-wise, for about 25-plus years now. And a little over four, maybe 5 years ago, actually, as it stands, my mother-in-law had a very aggressive form of Lewy body dementia. Mm. It wasn't a very good time for the family at all, and it was very aggressive, to the point that 10 months from diagnosis to death. So, and the latter sort of 3 weeks, maybe a little over, were in a care home. And anyway, we two things happened in that regard. One is, when a person arrives in a care setting, there's no backstory to the individual being cared for. Nothing. They arrive in a care setting pretty much with a few GP notes, possibly a MAR chart, which is medication records. But very, very little else. So that was one thing that we identified as a sort of direct need, if you like, within the social care context. But our lived experience was after the funeral, we were going through family possessions, as you do,
Of
and my
course.
son, Dylan, who was, I guess, 12, 12 and a half at the time, he was going through a family photo album and he was asking my wife, Pam, who's that? Who's this? Who's this? Now, to add a layer or a degree of complexity to this, my mother-in-law was Indian, so my wife is British Indian. Anyway, nobody knew who these people were in the photo album. And it was my son Dylan that said, look, Dad, you work in technology. Can't you do something that will help other people? Words to that effect. And that's really where Aftercloud was born. And what we did actually was we realized, especially nowadays with the massive digital footprint that we all have, scattered and fragmented pieces across various platforms, that we could do something to assist families in that regard. And that's where it started.
Absolutely. And starting with such a core personal mission and focus, I imagine that creates a really special business, having that really personal lived experience to go and run with. Is that fair to say?
It absolutely is. Yeah. I mean, it was impactful and purposely led and driven by our lived experience. That said, we started end of life because that was our starting point. So we created an app back then that enabled people that were in palliative settings, so hospice predominantly, or palliative within the community to curate their stories, but also future posts, so to enable them to posthumously post essentially. And and that's where we started, but it's a very difficult sector. And it's not difficult for the people that are living with life-limiting illnesses. It's difficult in respect to the gatekeepers around them. So that I think for us presented some challenges, but along the way we've pivoted and reacted to client need and client requirement, and as I say, we now operate in a very, very different space.
Just going back to that difficulty of that gatekeeper piece, can you just build on that piece? I think it'll really help to paint a picture in our listeners' minds in terms of some of the challenges there.
Yeah, what I mean by gatekeeper is that people living with life-limiting illness are either managed, if you will, by hospices or NHS clinicians or practitioners. But it's not as if you can advertise to that specific sector to enable them to create their stories. They're very, very difficult and hard to reach without the support of the hospices that are supporting them. We were very, very, very well supported, I have to say, at outset by Arthur Rank Hospice over in Cambridgeshire. Fantastic team. We did some tremendous early work with them to prove the model. And we were supported actually through Enterprise Oxfordshire as well to build our initial MVP. So I can't take anything away from those early days because we wouldn't be where we are today. But I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. I always think with when talking to such a mission-driven founder, I think it's always interesting to talk about that concept to delivery. What was that journey from you having that idea to having that first app, that first relationship with the hospice in Cambridge, as we spoke about there? How did you navigate that? And I appreciate you had 20 years experience within the sector, but I'm just really keen to share that story.
I suppose what we did was we realized that what we could do was utilize modern multimedia data sets. So we thought, well, actually, okay, how can we do this? So we sort of sat and drew up some very broad concept sketches, if you like, of creating a story utilizing multimedia. And so what we did was we thought, okay, well, we've got images, audio, letters, and video. Those are essentially the four main multimedia elements to curate or create the story or and enable people to create that story. So we took that and we thought, okay, how can we then package that? So we packaged all of those four multimedia data sets as what we call moments. And then what we did was from a technical standpoint, how do we then package those moments to curate a story? And we then created what we call a timeline. So that became an interactive timeline. So those four multimedia elements packaged as a moment, plotted then chronologically by software to create an interactive timeline. And then we took that concept to Arthur Rank. Well, as I say, created the MVP, took that to Arthur Rank. And again, that was literally through an old colleague, actually, that I used to work with, whose wife was a nurse at the hospice. They appreciated it was very, very early trial, concept driven, and anyway, they enabled us to talk with patients. Patients picked it up, and then we created a few case studies on the back of it.
Amazing. No, amazing. So such an inspiring story. And I think it's always so lovely presenting the show when you speak to a business that you can really see the passion and the impact
Thank
to
you.
so many. So thank you. Let's have another song and we'll continue the conversation after this.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Our business breakfasts start from just £15. Find out more at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, please, please, please do head back to the Get Radio website and listen to the podcast version because I think Darren of Aftercloud has shared so much insight into an impactful story. And it's been really, really, really fascinating. Darren, I think we've spoken quite a lot about the early stages and the why. Can you come, I guess, if we were to talk about a story in the nicest possible way to the middle of the story and really once that first app was there, was working, really that journey of you as a founder and how the business has developed and the learnings along the way.
Yeah, well, one of the areas we developed was I came across again through a contact, I think via LinkedIn, if I remember correctly, Ben, a guy called Martin Honor, who was a children's services manager in Berkshire, and he said, "This is great. This is a fantastic concept, but with a few tweaks, it would work in children's services." And we thought about it, and anyway, we said, "Look, why don't you take what it is now?" And this was then iterated to journals, what we call journals, which enabled children to journal daily. Anyway, we took that concept, wrapped it around for children's services and let them pilot. They came back with, "This is really, really great. It's taking what we call digital life story work," or sorry, life story work, which was book form, and created the basic concept of that, but digitally. Needed some work. From there, for me, it's really, really important to gain the knowledge and insight of thought leaders in their respective markets and sectors. So again, working in social care, I developed, again, through networking really and contact base, two distinct steering groups, what we call steering groups. These are thought leaders in their respective services that drive innovation, are either care experienced or experienced practitioners within their field of expertise. So I did that in both regards, adult services and children's services. And part of the children's services sector was a lady called Jane Keenan, who had 30 plus years in therapeutic management of children's services. She became our MD of children's services. So she started spearheading that. And then a group called Corum, which is a third sector organization that supports children's services, have been doing since 1700 and something. They were part of the steering group and they partnered with us. And since then, we've iterated and we've constantly developed. And we now have a platform called Storyteller, which supports children looked after. And that's where we are currently. We do have life story work also in adult social care. So these are adults in residential care settings to enable them to curate their life story so that their story isn't lost or forgotten in time.
Do you know what? I think it's so that sentence you've given there, so the story isn't lost in time, I think so fascinating. A story I didn't plan to tell today, but my grandmother was very old. So my mum was adopted and my grandmother was very old. And after probably 5 years after she died, as a grown-up adult, I was told that, and this is probably a little bit early for the morning, but I was told that she was the line manager, the first female manager within the civil service, and she was the line manager to Christie, the serial killer, who was killed, was the last person to be hung in Britain. And what a like awful but interesting, fascinating story. And do you know what? I didn't know it until about 5 years after. And I've told that story to so many people, and most people drop their mouths, really? Really? And do you know what? And then so often you hear that other person's story. Oh, well, in my case, and it's not recorded, is it? So I'm really keen to build on where you see the future of the business. And do you think that, or would you like there to be a point where everyone has their story that can be told and can be never forgotten? And do you think there will ever be the time that can happen?
Oh, 100%, Ben. Firstly, I think what you said about your grandmother is fascinating. I think it's, like you say, everybody has a story. And unless they're kept, unless they're guarded, and we are the custodians of our family heritage, right? Everybody
Absolutely.
listening, you, myself, everybody around us, we are the current custodians of our family history and heritage. Really, really important. But yeah, coming back to your question, yes, and absolutely. One of the things we're doing actually that sort of is a slight divergence from what our current model is, and this only happened in the sort of past couple of weeks, is utilizing our platform for intergenerational learning. So what we're doing is we're talking now at the moment with a leading school in Oxfordshire about their pupils gathering the stories of their elders, whether that's parents or grandparents, if they're still living. And also that intergenerational aspect of multi-generational learning, because it's really, really important that those stories are kept. So yes, that's what we're doing currently. And yes, I believe everybody should have a timeline. However they do that, I wouldn't suggest, well, I would suggest after cloud, but I wouldn't be that persuasive in that, it has to be after that, because there are various platforms, but we do it well, and we do it so that the future is connectivity in my eyes, and that's where AI plays a part, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's as if you read my mind there, Darren. AI. Where has AI impacted your business, and how do you see AI impact in the future?
Well, we're very, very fortunate in that through Innovate, through what they call a Bridge AI program, we've been appointed a mentor who's the government's senior scientific advisor on AI from the Alan Turing Institute. And he's basically said to us, look, just hold back. Most businesses are trying to rush it at utilizing AI, but they're doing it sort of on the back of things like ChatGPT or various platforms, Claude and the like, Perplexity. Other AI platforms are available, but we have to do it with efficacy and empathy and make sure that we do it in the right way. And for that, we need a very good data set. So to create our large language model, we need the relevant data sets. So we're doing it cautiously. We're doing it with the right approach. But that's we have a defined plan and a strategy of how we're going to implement AI. We'll probably utilize what we call generative AI to gather information that's currently unknown. I'll give you another instance, Ben. It's something that actually is still in stealth, but we've partnered with an insurance partner called Lockton. We also partner with various car membership clubs like MG, which are based over in Abingdon, the MG Car. So they're exhibiting actually very soon at the Classic Car Show, and a lot of their cars will have what we call a Concours timeline. So this is where we capture the history of classic cars, which is currently paper-based. And what we're doing in that way is utilizing generative AI to capture the history or the unknown history of that particular vehicle and pulling it into the timeline to assist the owner effectively. We're not doing it currently, but that's the plan.
How fascinating. No, really, really fascinating. And just in terms of thinking outside the world of care, because I think you've touched on it there in terms of MG, what would be your advice to the Oxfordshire business owner listening? I think that within marketing, storytelling is great. Within that human element and that client success and that experience, the whole customer experience, being able to really tell stories is so pivotal. What can businesses out of your sector, so if we focus on, I don't know, Thompson and Terry Recruitment or Get Radio, what can other businesses learn from what you've learned?
I think actually what you can do to expedite lots and lots of different processes is utilize really good prompts in respect to AI. So this can apply to any business. Think about how you would think about it. And what I mean by that is, up until today, you would have completed various laborious or labor-intensive tasks. Think about how you would apply that mentally and utilize that narrative as the prompt and see what happens. Because what you'll find is if you apply your level of thinking, here's the task. This is how I want it performed, and this is what I expect you to deliver as an example, as a prompt, in whatever regard. I'd like 12 marketing pieces for the year, and I'd like images to accompany them that are relevant to my content, as an example. You'll find that AI can really expedite your requirement. I mean, what would take, and this can apply to, financial spreadsheets. It can apply to strategy documents. The only area of caution I would apply to that is check and check again, because AI gets it wrong. It has what we call hallucinations, and it can make mistakes. So check and check again, but you will find it will speed up process.
No, really, really interesting. Really, really, really fascinating. Let's have another song and we'll continue the conversation after this.
Discussing topics that impact local businesses and their owners, this is the Business Brunch. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network, the friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Sign up to our mailing list at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, I absolutely recommend going and having a look at the Aftercloud website, going and following Darren, because yeah, it's a really, really fascinating business that focus on impactful storytelling. So really, really privileged to be having the conversation this morning. Darren, we've spoken quite a lot about your business, and we've spoken about the work you've done, and I think there's a couple of things that have really shone through to me. Is I think that you are clearly a very open person that's really focused on collaborations. You've spoken probably about six or seven collaborations that you've achieved. How important is our collaborations to your business? And really, how have some of these collaborations happened? What's been your approach to I guess cultivating them to for want of a better word?
That's a really good question, Ben. I think for me, someone said actually to me that just last week, actually, it was a member of my team. We're a very, very small operation, if you will. We're virtual, by definition. We're a tech business. And one of my team said to me, look, the reason we support you in the business, and these are people that are fractional and unpaid. The reason we support you in your business is because it's socially impactful, and what you do is socially impactful, and we believe in the mission. Now, what I've done in terms of cultivating, whether it be partnerships, networking, and I have to say, we have, as I mentioned earlier, we have two steering groups. Now, these are thought leaders and very, very senior-led professionals in their own right. You know, they're doctors, psychologists. Practitioners, business owners, and in all of those respects, I think I think mutual appreciation, mutual trust, mutual understanding, and that mission-driven piece. So they get what we're trying to achieve. They've bought into the concept, but there is that sort of mutual appreciation. Genuinely, I mean, I will help if I can help anybody. I will help them. And that reciprocates, I think, in a genuineness to do good, specifically social impact.
And yeah, I totally agree with you. I think with my recruitment hat on, it only took me a few minutes to mention recruitment. I think that people want to work for businesses that they can absolutely align with their mission and their values and have purpose. And actually, I think customers do as well. You know, I think that it's so much easier to recruit for an organization where there is a really clear mission and there is that real win-win. Both parties are winning. And I think my advice with my recruitment hat on, and I'm going really off topic now, but this is aimed at you, the listener, is really think about that long-term mission, aspiration. And I think if you can align there and create that win-win, you're nine tenths of the way towards success. I'm going to get off my soapbox there, Darren. The other part that I think would be really useful for our listeners to talk about is really the resilience piece, and that I guess ever-evolving journey, because part of being a tech business, I imagine there have been points where actually that trial hasn't been successful, or this build hasn't quite worked. Actually, we need to redevelop this. How as a founder have you dealt with that resilience, and how have you built that network around you to be able to keep pushing forward towards that mission?
Yeah, that's another great question, Ben. We've pivoted and iterated multiple times throughout our journey. If we get it wrong, we redress it very, very quickly. I think it's the only way to be is open and transparent, actually. So iterated very quickly, apologize where we need to apologize, but also keep customers close and happy, but also listen to them. I think keeping open ears as well. Is really, really important. A couple of things that happened actually, I guess more recently, just going back to your grandmother, if I could.
Yeah, no, please do.
Well, we have now what we call retrospective timelines. Now, the premises in the business is we capture our living life stories today. That's what we want to do. We are going to utilize AI in the future to identify health concerns before a diagnosis. It's a longer term
Wow.
plan. It's a longer term plan, but that's what we're doing. But we do have re retrospective timelines. So these are where people have had family members that have unfortunately passed away, but they've applied their timelines retrospectively. And I'll give you a couple of instances that I'm able to share because they've
Yeah, of course.
allowed me to. One is the ex-chief of police in Boston in the US. He has a timeline, and the output of a timeline is a web page and a QR code, so that the QR code leads to the web page to tell that interactive story. And the QR codes have been placed on his memorial. So that's one instance. We've also got another one in the States by a guy called Michael Bork for his father, John Harold Bork, who was a Korean War veteran. And again, he's done the same thing. He's actually an inventor and has created a 3D glow-in-the-dark QR code, which leads to his aftercloud timeline. So these are all things that have iterated more recently. But to answer your question, it's challenging. You have to overcome those challenges quickly, iterate fast. One of the challenges, I think, one of the biggest challenges is funding for any startup or young or growing business, is ensuring that you have the runway, if you like, to manage the business forward. And we've been very fortunate. We raised pre-seed last February 24, which enabled us to have a 18-month runway. We're now in the process of raising seed capital. However, we're not seen as a unicorn in any sense currently. So we are looking for impact-driven investors or family offices that see and I guess understand and admire what we're trying to achieve.
No, really, really fascinating. I'm gonna give a quick plug there, and then I'm gonna come on to a question. If somebody's listening, you know, our active listeners, the studies show us, or the stats show us, are the Oxfordshire business owner, ranging from huge global to small independents. If anyone's listening and would like to get involved, how would they go about that?
I think really for me is have a conversation. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm very visible on LinkedIn. We're also supported, as I mentioned earlier, through Enterprise Oxfordshire. In fact, I'm an ambassador for Enterprise Oxfordshire just because of the great work that they do as a LEP, Local Enterprise Partnership. But yeah, I think let's have a conversation. If you genuinely would like to get involved in our business, we are open. We're open to partnerships, we're open to investment, and we're open to meaningful conversation.
Amazing, amazing. No, really, really good. And just now going back to that funding piece, and you mentioned the rounds that you've been through. We were actually talking about this in last week's show, albeit in the STEM space. We were joined by Creo, Martine and Claudia, who are talking about giving STEM businesses the foundations to grow. And I think one of the big topics there was making yourself funding ready and making yourself attractive to an investor. I know we've touched on your case in terms of being mission and values led, and that social impact piece. But what are some of the things that you've had to consider and have in place in order to be ready to have those funding conversations?
I think one of the things is traction. You can, I think gone are the days where you can go to a potential investor, with a piece of paper and an outline plan. These days you need solid traction. You need purposeful market fit. So there needs to be an intent there from the buyer. You need a really good, strong forecast. You need your pitch deck aligned with what you're trying to achieve. There are lots and lots of things that are would be unknown to a sort of younger startup entrepreneur. There are also lots of things to be aware of in terms of pitfalls, and those are people that are trying to get your money, professing to be this, that, or the other. And I would be very, very cautious in spending any money before you have to. So you can create wireframes, as an example, nowadays, pretty much for free, that show the concept, a working concept. Similarly, you can create pitch decks in Canva for free. You can, or other tools are available. But you can do a lot these days to get yourself pitch ready with the necessary ingredients for free. And again, if there are any early stage founders out there that want any advice or help, I'm happy to provide that as well.
No, that's really, really, really kind. I think you build on a really good business lesson there. A phrase that I learned in one of the very early shows of the Business Brunch is it's so much easier to spend money than make money. There will always be somebody that will let you buy something, but actually, it's really, really important that you consider what you are spending in order to give that flow. We are coming to the very final stint of the show, Darren. I can't believe how quickly time has gone. But one of the things that we do really love to leave our listeners with is a lasting tip. And I think you've given so many tips throughout the show already. But so it can be underlining one in the notepad that we've already covered, or it can be something completely fresh that we've not spoken about. But what would be kind of your lasting tip that you'd love our listeners to remember and take away?
For me, I think, Ben, it would be to capture the voices of your elders. It's so imperative. Their stories are lost or forgotten very, very quickly. And we never know that finite time of how long we have left. Just a personal example, my mum is a twin. To my uncle Jeff, and he died 2 weeks ago.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's two weeks ago, 2 weeks after their 85th birthday, and they're twins. It affects the family, of course it does. But we've got his funeral to go to next week, and I would implore anybody just to capture the voice because it's the voice you miss the most. In any regard, it doesn't have to be after cloud, but if you can capture someone's voice, capture their stories, that's the one thing I think I would leave.
Wow. In 250 shows, probably the most impactful lasting top tip, which is very fitting to your business. So thank you for that, Darren. Darren,
Absolute
it's been
pleasure.
an absolute pleasure, and thank you so much for your time and such contribution to a really impactful story. So thank you for that. If you are just tuning in, my lasting tip, please head over, follow Darren on socials, head over to AfterCloud's website, and engage with a wonderful business. But that is the end of the show. Just a reminder, you can listen to this radio show every single Sunday on the radio or online at 11 a.m. There is also a podcast version, which then goes out the following Monday morning and is released on every major podcast platform. And if you would like to see my lovely guests, do look out for the video version, which goes out on their Get Radio Facebook page and their website every Tuesday. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, enjoy. And we'll see you next week.